Kairos, good afternoon. Wow, that was pitiful. Thank you, Lily. Kairos, good afternoon. There you go. Great. This is not sacrilegious, but there's a few people behind me, so I'm going to move this back just a little bit so I can see you all. Irma, thank you so much for leading us in a powerful time of prayer. I feel like you all have perfect lives, because I don't know about you, but like I literally stood up at every single opportunity. You know, I was getting my box squats in or whatever. You know, it's like got my workout for the day. But I mean, really, as in each one of those things, you know, there's an opportunity for us to be praying in our own lives, or especially for other people that we know and that we love. So thank you, and thank you, church, for praying in that way. And worship team, thank you for leading us, because really, the first song was great, but the second and third one is basically the message today. So they've already heard it. So if you guys don't get it, you got no one to blame, because the worship team already led it. We're going to talk about it here. But we're going through a series in the Gospel of Mark, and we're just kind of working our way slowly through Mark, just sort of ruminating and just sort of meditating on that. I see Anita in the back. Anita, you've got a couple extra of our ESV journal Bibles. If you have not gotten one of these yet, we would love to give you a free copy. Just raise your hand. If you forgot yours today, but if you did not get one, we won't shame you. But if you did not get one, just raise your hand. This is just the Bible in a different, it's the same words, but it's in a journal form. So it's an opportunity for you to take notes and to just to keep this with you. And so please just raise your hand. We'd love to get you a copy of this. We're going to look at Mark 1 here in just a minute. But you know, as a pastor, I get inundated, I know you do too, with emails, right? I mean, aren't you just going through, how many of you are you have to have a zero in your inbox? How many of you are, you know, you have 3,000 million emails or whatever? Okay, oh, that just bothers me. But I get inundated with emails all the time on how to grow as a Christ follower, or how to grow our church. You know, this book or this conference or this, you know, this subscription or whatever it is. And usually it has the word dynamic in it. You know, go to the dynamic worship conference, or go to the dynamic marriage conference. If there was ever a dynamic setup and teardown conference, John, I think we would go. You know, we would figure it out. We want to be at that one. sometimes they sprinkle in the word vibrant. And, you know, I don't know. I get these all the time. Maybe they come from AI or Russia or something like that. But, you know, they usually go to my spam folder. But here's the truth. The truth is, we don't need another conference. We don't need another book. We don't need another seminar to be able to follow Jesus well. I think I shared with you guys a couple weeks ago, I was talking with a friend, and I told him I was reading this book, How to Spend a Day with Jesus. And he kind of looked at me and said, why don't you just spend a day with Jesus? You should know how to do this by now, right? I mean, if anyone, right? Okay. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I should. See, Christianity, it's pretty simple. That's what I hope that you hear today. As we look at the passage here in just a minute, it's actually really simple. And understand, I'm not going to speak with a ton of nuance today as I share. You know, I usually do. You know, we say this a lot. This is a safe place for everyone to bring their doubts, to bring their questions, to bring their wrestlings. We know good, faithful Christians. They have good dialogue and discussion on different theological issues. A lot of us come into this space with pain, with hurts, from not from Jesus, but from just people who follow or say they follow Jesus. And you know, what we say around here is, and that sort of seems to make things a little bit more complicated, we see you, we hear you, we love you. Really, Lisa, it is what you just said, that you have to have the second song, God's Amazing Grace, before you can do the following of Jesus, right? And if you go back to what we read last week about Jesus is the beloved Son of God, loved by God, we are beloved daughters, we are beloved sons of God, and that's going to allow us to do what it is that that God is calling us to do today. But ultimately, Christianity is pretty simple. Jesus calls us, and we follow him. Jesus calls us, and we follow him. I should say, Jesus dynamically calls us, right? All right? He vibrantly calls us, but that's it. Jesus calls us, and we follow him. So that's what the text says, and that's what we're going to look at together. So let's stand again. If you have your ESV Bible, go ahead and pull that out. If you don't, the words are going to be up on the screen. We're going to read Mark chapter 1, verses 14. We're going to end at verse 20 today. This is God's word for us. It says, now after John was arrested, this is John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time, kairos, that's where we get the word kairos. This is a mission statement, if you will, of our church. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, passing along the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately, there's that word again, they left their nets, they followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. That's God's word for us today. You may be seated, and let's pray before we begin. Lord, our prayer is simple today, but it demands the extraordinary. Would you be so kind, as you already have, to continue to keep moving in our midst by your Holy Spirit? We cannot do this by ourselves. We are too human to do it by ourselves. That's why we need your Holy Spirit. But thank God you give us your Spirit. So would you be so kind to move in our midst by your Spirit to call us to come follow you? Would you speak to us today? Would we listen to your voice? And would we obey you? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, right there at the beginning of verse 14, you can see it in the heading there. It says, Jesus begins his ministry, right? Jesus begins his ministry. That's accurate. I think that's true. But I would argue that there's maybe a more accurate heading that could be there, and that's that Jesus begins his reign. Jesus begins his reign because Jesus here, he's beginning his reign as king. He's the king. This is actually the first time in the scripture, in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus speaks. So we're getting Jesus' first words, and what does he have to say? He says, the time has come. We must repent. We must believe the good news that the kingdom of God has arrived, and we need to follow him. We need to follow Jesus. So Jesus says the kingdom is here because he's the king, and he will have followers. Jesus will have followers. So, you know, Jesus, if he was starting a school, he would recruit some students, right? Or if he was starting a seminary or something, you know, he needs a few professors, a few scholars, so he would grab them and bring them along. If Jesus was starting an army, he would get some soldiers. And, you know, if he was like me and just wanted to hear himself preach, he would recruit some listeners or something like that, right? But Jesus is a king, and as a king, he will have followers. He's not trying to convince anybody, right? He's not saying, hey, come, join my cause. Please, you can get to lunch, you know, I won't be long. He just commands. He commands Simon and Andrew and James and John, follow me, and immediately they follow him. Immediately they do it. Now, I mentioned last week, we talked a little bit about Jesus at his baptism on the banks of the Jordan, and we talked about how it's a little bit of a creation story, right? We see the Trinity at Jesus' baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And if we go back to Genesis, we saw that same Spirit hovering or fluttering over the waters, and so it's reminiscent of the creation story, this new creation that's bursting forth in Jesus, and we see it here in this passage as well. Because if we go back to Genesis, God speaks, let there be light, and immediately, light, obeying God's word. Jesus speaks, follow me, and immediately, the disciples begin to follow him. So this new creation is beginning. Now, there are many things about the Christian life that are true, right? To be to walk the Christian life, it's challenging, it's beautiful, it is glorious, surprising, adventurous. Sometimes it's steady. It can be difficult. It can be very difficult. But one thing, it's rarely confusing. It's really simple. Jesus calls and we follow. So I want to just sort of propose today that if you're feeling like, if I'm feeling like, if you're struggling to grow as a Christian, if you're struggling, if you're sort of feeling dry, could it be today that you're not listening and you're not obeying, you're not following Jesus? Because see, whatever you think that the problem is, it's not your church. It's not your leadership. It's not because, oh, your Kairos community, you know, those leaders. It's not because of your family or your friends. It's not because of your work. And it's not because you don't have enough time. Those are not the reasons. And more likely, and I want you to understand, I've already preached this to myself this week, okay? So I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching with you. More likely, it's because I'm not listening to Jesus and not following him. See, sometimes we kind of turn Christianity into what we often call consumer Christianity, right? You've heard that phrase before. We've talked about it, where you come and you listen and then you go home, and we, consumer Christianity, we begin to blame other people. This wasn't good. That wasn't good. I'm not sure what to do here. I'm not sure. And really, your lack of discipleship, my lack of discipleship, it's not anybody else's problem. It's not for someone else to blame. Ask yourself the question, are you listening to Jesus and are you following him? Are you following him? It's interesting when you compare the sermons of today to sermons that were often preached, you know, like a generation ago, which I know that's what all of you all did this week, right? I like to read some old sermons, some new sermons, and there's some good things about new preaching, but one of the differences, the stark differences, is today we often preach a commitment to Christ. We want you to commit your life or whatever to Christ, but a generation ago, they talked about surrendering your life to Jesus, surrendering your life to Jesus. Not a call to commitment, but a call to surrender your lives, which I think is actually a more accurate picture of how we're supposed to respond. Because to surrender, it means to recognize that, hey, you and I, we've been living in rebellion. It means to recognize that you've been living in your own kingdom, in your own self-rule, battling against Jesus, resisting his authority, and it's time to lay down your weapons. It's time to lay down your weapons, to give up, surrender, and say, Jesus, you have total and complete control over my life. To surrender means you give up self-rule and you submit to his rule. But isn't it the sweetest of surrenders? I mean, isn't it just the sweetest of surrenders when you surrender to Jesus? Because understand, this king loves you more than you even love yourself. Jesus loves you more than you even love yourself. Man, we love ourselves. He cares about you more than you care about yourself. And so what are you really giving up? What are you surrendering? Your anxieties? Your stress? Your exhaustion? That sin that promises so much? And God is just, it never, never upholds its promises. You're surrendering all of that to the one who loves you beyond all measure, the one who knows you and loves you more than anything. And that's what we see in this story here with Simon and Andrew. It's a story of surrender. They were fishing when Jesus came into the town. And if we read Luke's account of the story, Luke also shares this. Luke says they had the catch of a lifetime. They had the catch of a lifetime. They caught so many fish, they were actually struggling to bring the nets in. And then it's at this point that Jesus says, okay, now come follow me. Now come follow me. And then they let go of their nets and they followed him. So think about it this way. Their dreams finally came true. Right? Their dreams finally came true. And of course, we don't care about catching fish as much, but as fishermen, they dreamed about this for a long time, that they would have this. And if it's at this moment that their dreams come true, then Jesus says, "Now, follow me. Follow me." They let go of their profit record, or the record profits, their career, all of it, and held fast, as the song said, to a greater treasure. Think about it this way. Perhaps all of us, you guys have prayed this prayer before, right? Jesus, come back. Jesus, I want you to come back, Lord. Just come back. We're ready for you. But I've got this cruise planned next month. So I want you to come back, but can you just wait about 36 days? Or Lord, my grandkids are graduating college in May. I want you to come back, but man, we're excited about that. You know, we're ready to take the trip of a lifetime, or I'm getting married, or I'm just about to make it here in my career. So I want you to come back. I do, Lord, but let me just get this. I just want to experience this thing first. We've prayed that before. But what a pathetic view of Jesus. Right, what a pathetic view we have of Jesus in his word. So I just want you to picture, you caught all your dreams, whatever your dreams are, just think about your dreams. All your dreams are coming true, and Jesus in that moment, he says, drop it. Drop it. Because Jesus is a far superior treasure. They followed him, and they didn't have any regrets. Now, the other two, James and John, they were also fishing at the time. It was a family business. They said, the scriptures say they were with their father. It probably was a well-off business because it says they had hired servants. And so Jesus says, come follow me. They leave their father, they leave their wealth, and they follow him. We find out later in the Gospels, they still fish from time to time. They still do that. Nothing wrong with fishing, but it's no longer their career. It's no longer their identity. It's no longer their security. Those things are now found in Jesus. But fishing is no longer the source of their anxieties either, right? It's no longer the source of their stress because they no longer find their value, their purpose, or their security in it. Friends, I'm not saying we leave our jobs necessarily. You know that. We've talked about that a long time, but just stay with me here. Jesus gives them this new mission, right? He gives us this new mission. He says, we're going to become fishers of men, fishers of people. In other words, come follow me, and I'm going to teach you how to teach other people to follow Jesus. You're not just going to follow me, but I'm going to teach you to teach other people to follow Jesus. And so obviously what that means for us today is part of following Jesus is calling other people to follow Jesus. Right? Part of following Jesus is calling other people to follow Jesus. And I don't know where it came in modern Christianity for somehow we can now accept Jesus without us accepting his mission, but that's not an option for us in the scriptures. Not an option for us in the scriptures. You cannot accept Jesus without accepting his mission. Part of following Jesus is calling other people to follow Jesus. So if you're not helping others, if you're not calling others to follow Jesus, then you're not following Jesus. Now, of course, these guys, they didn't do it perfectly, right? This isn't a call for perfection. They did not do it perfectly by any sense of the imagination. Jesus didn't say, come and you'll be fishers of men. Jesus said, come and I will make you, right? I will make you. It's a process. It's a promise. He's promising that he's going to do that. But what we see is the longer they spend time with Jesus, the longer they engage with Jesus, the longer they become more bold and more gifted, empowering others to do this. And of course, they don't even do it well in the Gospels. It takes the resurrected Jesus. It takes the Holy Spirit before they actually figure it out with some competency. But don't make the mistake that Jesus picked the cream of the crop. He didn't pick the best of the best, right? These are not exceptional men. There is nothing exceptional about them. They're nobodies in first century Jewish society. They're simple. They're uneducated. They're powerless, lowest social class, first century Jewish fishermen. They were not exactly brewing with potential here, according to the societal standards of the time. But what happened is Jesus called, they followed, they changed the world. Literally, I mean, the history books share that. We read about it. It's not an exaggeration. 2,000 years, that's what happened. Rome was changed within 4 centuries. 4 centuries, they changed the world. And I love how if we go to the book of Acts and we read about these men, and there was this time when they healed somebody and the leaders didn't like it, and, you know, don't heal people, I guess. And so they're standing before this court, and this is what the leaders have to say, Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. What a compliment. What a compliment. Not, oh, Anita, you went to Harvard, didn't you? Man, I was reading this business article and you wrote it. It's amazing. You're great. Tito, man, that party. I saw you at that party, man. Paparazzi was taking your photos. It was great, brother. Can I get your autograph? See, it wasn't those things. It wasn't those standards. They were nobodies. They were recognized for simply having been with Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. They obeyed. They followed. And the world was changed. I heard an African pastor recently who planted several hundred churches, which is pretty amazing. And we got a lot of work to do to get there. We're at one right now. But he said he's been to America, been to a couple of our meetings, and he says what often happens is you open up in prayer, you have a 2-hour whiteboard meeting, and then you ask God to bless your plans. And he said, God doesn't care about your plans. God doesn't care about your plans. God has a plan, and God's inviting you into his plan. So are we listening? Are we obeying? Again, the Christian life is really simple. If you're taking notes today in the bulletin or in your Bible, I hope you're just writing it over and over again. We listen to Jesus, we follow Jesus. We listen to Jesus, we obey Jesus. We listen to his word, right? Nothing that he says will ever be contrary to his word. We listen to him in prayer and we obey. That's what surrender looks like. And so friends, if you're struggling spiritually, if you're sort of feeling dry today, again, we love you. Grace abounds. But maybe perhaps you're angry at God today. Maybe you're angry at God because maybe life is not turning out the way that you wanted or that you thought it would. Maybe the reason you're angry is because somehow along the line you thought that God was supposed to follow you instead of you following God. See, somewhere along the line we sort of switched. We said, hey, God, I've got these plans for my life. I've got this career trajectory. I want this to happen. You know, I want to go on this vacation, or I want to live in this neighborhood. And Lord, will you just kind of sprinkle some of that like fairy dust on my life? I've heard about that before. I've got these adventures. I want to get into this school. Can you just like follow me? And we're angry because Jesus is not following us. See, we've got it reversed. We don't ask him to follow us, we follow him. That's what surrender looks like. We read about God when he called Abraham. He called him. Abraham got up immediately, left, and he went. He didn't know where he was going. The disciples, Jesus calls them, they got up and left immediately. They don't know where they're going. When Jesus calls us, we say yes. Now, where is Jesus going to take us? I don't know. But we get to be with Jesus. See, we get to be with Jesus. Do you think the disciples had any idea what they were doing? They had no idea what they were doing. They didn't know where they were going. They just knew who they were going with. Doesn't matter, because we get to be with Jesus wherever we go. Peter, crucified, upside down, Christian tradition, history. Andrew, crucified. James, who was beheaded. John, sent into exile. They had no idea. And thank God for probably, I would say, almost probably all of us in this room, we will never have to go through that. But they had no regrets because they get to be with Jesus forever, forever. And I love how Jesus, how he calls people to himself. You know, he doesn't negotiate. He doesn't say, hey, can you pull out your calendar for me? And just, can we get on the, you know, you got a, what's the calendar apps or whatever. You know, I just need a little bit of your time, a few hours a week. Now, yeah, probably one or two weekends a month, but I'll try not to make it a big deal. Jesus doesn't do that, right? He doesn't negotiate. He says, follow me and you'll never regret it. So we act like it's so hard. We act like it's a puzzle, like how do I put this Christian puzzle together following Jesus? It's some mystery, but we don't have that, at least in this passage. It's just sort of like Jesus calls and we follow him. And so I just want to ask us, I want to challenge us, and like I said, challenge myself. Are we listening? Are you listening? And then are you obeying when you hear God speak? The answer is always yes when he's calling. You don't have to know where you're going. You just have to know who you're going with. So what does this look like for us this week? I want us to listen to God through his word. We've got a Bible reading plan. We've got our Kairos communities. We're journeying through scripture together, through the Gospel of Mark, through Psalms and Proverbs. And also, I hope that you're praying regularly. And we would love, if you need help figuring out what that looks like, we'd be glad to help you do that. But, you know, when you open up God's word and God tells you to be a generous person, right, which you can't go long and God's going to say, hey, be a generous person, then you take it seriously. And you don't just say, okay, God, yeah, I should be a generous person sometime in my life. You say, okay, Lord, today, how can I be generous? What do you want me to do to be generous? I shared this with Lisa this week. About 2 weeks ago, I was praying on the way into church, and I was praying about what we were going to pray about for our serve team prayer before we had service. And it's a lot of pre-prayer stuff. And I think I've made sense of that. So I'm praying about what we should pray about before we have worship. And I had to go to the store over here to pick up some communion bread. And I run into a gentleman who I've met before. He works there. And he stopped me. He said, Pastor. And I hadn't seen him in a few months, so I was surprised he recognized me. And he said, will you pray for me? I've got a lot going on in my life. And I was running late. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. I got you. I'll see you soon. I'll pray for you. Out the door. Now, what should I have done? Should have let Lisa be mad at me because I was late, which you never are. I'm just saying. I should have been late to the meeting, and I should have stopped and prayed for the person that I was praying about the meeting to pray to have worship so that we would do and pray for people out in the world, right? I kind of messed that one up. So it's not, God, make me a better person out there in the future. Make me a praying person. Let me help me love people. It's like, okay, God, who today do you want me to be? We have to have eyes to be able to see. So when we read God's word, it says, forgive others as you've been forgiven. You're like, okay, God, is there anyone today I need to forgive? I need to text. I need to call. I need to forgive in my life. The answer is yes, we obey. When Jesus says, hey, we read in his word, I need to love my spouse with a sacrificial love. Okay, today, how can I do that? What do I need to do today specifically to show love? Are you listening? Are you obeying God's word? God's a speaking God. He's speaking to us. He wants to guide our lives. Sometimes we think only God wants to help us when we've got these big decisions for our lives, but so often it's just the daily things where God is speaking to us. And truthfully, we often already know what the answer is. See, why would God keep speaking if we keep saying no? Why would God keep speaking if we keep saying no? If God says, okay, do these things, and we're saying, well, I don't know about that. Why do we want him to say, talk over here? It's like, I'm already talking. Do these things first, and then you can come over here and have what you want. See, whatever it is, we got to say yes. Now, I want you to hear me. I didn't know who would be in the room today, but if you don't know Jesus, first of all, we are just so glad you're here. This is a great place to be. We love you. We want you to be here. This is a safe space for you to learn, to grow, to wrestle, to have questions. It's all good. We hope you'll continue to come to learn and to hopefully one day embrace Christ. But if that's where you are, what I want you to know is you can live however you want. You can live however you want. You are free to do whatever you want. Whatever you want. But for those in the room that do know Jesus, for those of us that we call ourselves Christ followers, well, he's the risen King. And you and I, we've been bought with a price. And our obedience should be immediate. Should be immediate. Our surrender should be immediate. Our lives of surrender to him. See, the one thing none of us can do here is none of us can try to negotiate with Jesus. To try to meet Jesus in the middle. You know, you can't say to Jesus, well, hey, yeah, you're my Lord, but we got to talk about some things here. You know, I kind of like this, Jesus. I'm not so sure about that. I get what you say in the scriptures over here, but I'm not so certain I want to listen to you over here. That's not surrender. That's not surrender. And that's not an option. Jesus doesn't give us that option. If that's the way you're following God, then your obedience is not obedience. You just happen to agree with him from time to time. Jesus didn't come as our counselor giving us advice. He came as our King. And so we have to lay our lives before him and say yes. And again, we get to be with him forever. It's good news. We get to be with him forever. When I look back on my Christian life, what I gave up, I don't even know what I give up. It pales in comparison to the greatest treasure of Christ, that we get to be with Jesus. What a joy it is that we get to be with Jesus forever. Forever. Pray with me. Jesus, would you be kind to us in this moment? Would you be kind to us? And through your Spirit again, we pray you speak to us. Give us a heart today and this week to listen, to surrender our lives to you. Jesus, our answer is yes. I don't need to know. We don't need to know where you're taking us, but the answer is yes. Yes. We will follow you. We will follow you.